Welcome to Hype, episode 88. That's a great number. I like it. My name is Selena, and I'm joined this week by Pam and Kristen. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
We are very excited not just to have Kristen on the show, but to actually announce to the world exclusively that Kristen is our new regular host on Hype, so you can expect to hear her a lot more on the show. Yay! This is the times when I wish I had that thing that went, but I lost it. Like the early days of Hype.
Like celebration. Like, yeah.
But we are celebrating internally. This is great news. One of these days we will have like a full person panel. It'll be amazing. You guys can all look forward to that. But until that time, we like to sort of keep the hosts at like 3 or 4 people. So it's not like overwhelming you with voices, but there's still enough people to cover all bases in entertainment news. So we really hope that you like our current format, and you can always let us know what you think about it via our usual social media outlets. You can find us on Twitter at HypeableHype. You can find us, tell us what you think on Instagram. We'll definitely see it there on HypeableHype. And you can email us, hype@hypeable.com. And you can find us on Hypeable, which is HYPABLE.com. And please do email us. We haven't had an email in like a week. So I'm like, ooh, is it working? Is something wrong? So you better just email us just to make sure it works, right? We also would like your feedback on Gilmore Girls season 2, because we are gearing up to record our second special within the next couple of weeks, probably. So stay tuned for that. Now, moving into the usual show, we're going to start with How We Hype, which is where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom for the past week, and let's start off with our brand new regular host, Kristen.
Well, it's not something that I've done, it's more something that I'm going to do, and I'm so, so, so excited about it, I can't even begin to tell you.
God, Kristen, we had such high hope. No, I'm kidding.
I know. Well, had I been able to, I was going to go last weekend to the first day of AMC's 2-day Best Picture Showcase at my local AMC theater, and they play all of the Best Picture nominees like in a row. So they do, this year, since there's 8 nominees, they're doing 4 and 4. Last week, thanks to a lot of craziness and Karen and I needing to help game test that new Wizard School game that Hank Green like made, we couldn't go, but I am going this weekend, hopefully, cross my fingers, and I'm very, very excited about it. The lineup is Brooklyn, Spotlight, The Martian, which I've already seen but I love, and The Revenant. So if Brooklyn and Spotlight are 2 of my most anticipated, like 2 that I've wanted to see so, so badly, so I'm holding my breath and hoping that we'll get tickets, because I haven't bought them yet. So.
Oh my God, yeah. I think you're going to really like Brooklyn. I have a feeling.
I'm so excited.
But no, I'm going to have to ask, like, what is that other thing you were talking about? Game testing? What? What is that? That sounds exciting.
Hank Green he announced this a while back. I don't remember if it was a Kickstarter or what, but he was like getting crowd support for a board game that he was creating called Wizard School, and all of the art on the game was being done by Karen Hallian, who a lot of people will know. She makes like Disney Doctor Who combo t-shirts, like you've probably seen them if you're at all in fandom. She's been on T-Fury a bunch of times. And so the two of them were kind of working together, and they created this game. She was doing all the art. And Karen bought a copy of the game from the Kickstarter or whatever it was. And she was contacted by them. Like, they sent out like a blast email to everybody who had supported them at her level and said, if anybody wants to help beta test the game, let us know and we'll send you all the files, and then you can print off like the cards and stuff and just do like a basic test of it to see how it plays and if there's things that need to be improved and that sort of stuff. So we got together with another friend of ours that Karen knows through Teen Wolf and played it last Saturday. And it was a little rough. There are some areas that needed more explanation and stuff that we didn't quite understand, but it was kind of cool. And I've never beta tested a game before.
So. I know. You don't get to do that very often.
Yeah. Like it was fun. And not all of the artwork was done, so I'm excited when we get the full pretty game to see it all. That's like awesome. In color.
We should we should have him on the show to talk about it.
I know if he did, Karen would be like super excited.
Karen would obviously be invited on. We know. We know Karen. Anyway, we should talk about that later. Pam, what have you been doing? I have no idea what this is.
Oh, it's okay, because I'm going to tell you all about it.
Good.
Because I went to a screening for the new film 999 out here in San Francisco. And I went because it's got a lot of people that, like, we as a group would be excited about. And also that I feel like our listeners will be excited about. So the film stars Casey Affleck, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Anthony Mackie, Aaron Paul, Clifton Collins-Jones, Norman Reedus, Gal Gadot's in this for a hot minute, Woody Harrelson, and Kate Winslet, just to name a few people. So it's a really, really stacked cast. And it's a crime thriller drama, and it actually is about a crew of dirty cops that are being blackmailed by the Russian mob, which is led by Kate Winslet in this movie. She does a really great Russian accent. And pretty much they're being blackmailed into helping them, like, get information from that the government is, like, withholding because they've already, like, sequestered it and stuff like that. And so they get put into this almost impossible heist situation where they have to play dirty in order to pull it off. And the only way to do it is to figure out a way for a 999 to be called. And it's the police code for an officer down, because that means that all the policemen are going to rush to the scene where this officer has been shot. And that's going to leave them with an open door to kind of pull this thing off. So it's actually it's a little bit slower paced than I thought it was going to be when I walked into it. But if you like kind of slow burning crime thrillers where you don't really know who's going to walk away unscathed and who's going to not, then I definitely recommend going to see this, if only for, you know, the spectacular cast, because there's a lot of really good people in it.
Wow, that sounds really good. I like Kate Winslet.
Yeah, most people do.
I really have a problem with over-the-top fake evil Russian accents, but I'm sure
it's very subtle. Like, uh-huh. I mean, she obviously has to sound Russian, but yeah, so she's not like in a like, you know, it's kind of cool though, because you don't usually see a mob boss lady.
Yeah,
and she's definitely
nice.
The one pulling the strings, because her husband is in jail, so she's like doing all the stuff that he would normally do. And she's definitely calling all the shots. So
cool.
She handled that Polish accent in Steve Jobs very well. So I give her.
It's actually very kind of similar, which makes sense, I guess, because they're both kind of in similar parts of Europe. But yeah. So
I can see it working.
Yeah. Awesome.
Totally. So definitely recommend checking that out. It actually premieres on Friday. So by the time this episode comes out, you guys will have plenty of advance notice to kind of figure out if you want to go see it over the weekend.
Cool. And what have I been doing? I had a birthday, so I've been doing that. And congratulations, Selena. Oh, yay, celebration.
I was just going to say we should start singing, but you just kept talking. So.
Right, same here. I was like, wait, trip.
Well, at least I can say it to myself.
Yeah. Did you get any awesome fandomy related things for your birthday? I imagine like your birthday is filled with like Buffy things and like maybe some Funko Pop toys and like a bow to use when you go off gallivanting in the woods, which is what I assume that you do all the time. So
actually, yeah, I mean, actually, no, I don't, because I think I've said this on the podcast before, I'm very careful about getting fandom stuff, because I know that after looking at it for like a couple of months, I'll be sick of it. And I like, you know, there's very few fandoms that I like would like to have apparel for. It just ends up in my closet. So, but I didn't get it, but I do really want this, you know, the huge Star Wars poster, like the orange sky one with Rey and BB-8. Like, I desperately want that one, like a huge version of it, but I have no idea how to get it. So if any hype listeners happen to know of a way to procure such a poster, then I would be very interested. But no, I didn't get any Funkos. I would really like a Buffy Funko, actually. Don't tell Merma. But yeah, no, I I had a nice time. It wasn't, you know, it was good. But I also did some other stuff. I went to see Star Wars for the second time in cinemas because I really wanted to see it again. And like, I know it's leaving cinema soon and I just hadn't gotten around to it. So, and it was so good the second time as well. Like, because I was worried that I would be, like, when you see a movie again, you're like, okay, well, just waiting for the parts to come. But I was, like, waiting in the good way. I was like, oh, yeah, then this awesome thing, and then this awesome thing, and stuff. So, very, very good. How many times have you guys seen it?
I've seen it twice.
I'm gonna say three times. It's either three or four, but I don't remember if I saw it a fourth time or if I was just supposed to see it.
Yeah, because I know like Danya has seen it like a billion times and stuff. So yeah. I felt very sort of, because I'd only seen it the one time. It's like, I have to go again also just to see if it was as good as I thought it was. Because sometimes like my review was so good and sometimes I would probably not be as impressed the second time, but I definitely was. It was so good. And finally, and then we'll move into the news, you guys, I need help. I have fallen into Fallout 4 and I cannot get out of it. I cannot fall out of Fallout 4.
Oh, no.
I am so obsessed with that game. I got it for Christmas and I didn't want to start playing it until I'd finished like this big assignment I had to do because I knew that this would happen. Oh my God, you guys, it's so good. I hate when this happens. Like, it happens so rarely to me, but every once in a while, like, Zelda, like, Twilight Princess, for some reason I adore that game, and Skyward Sword, and The Last of Us, and now Fallout 4, and I'm so obsessed with it. Do you guys get that at all? Not with board games.
I was just going to say, my brother has been playing that for the last, like, well, since he got the PS4. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't play it. I just, you know, my experience with video games stops after, like, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Or GameCube. That was an awful game.
I know. I really much preferred Chamber of Secrets. But that's
the fifth one was really good, actually. You should try the fifth one.
Maybe we will bust out the old GameCube and make that happen. But, yeah, so I know of it because every once in a while I'll get sucked into watching him play.
Yeah.
But I don't actually play myself because I'm not good at stuff like that. But
yeah, I think the last game that I got truly sucked into was Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, that's a good one too. Me too.
I loved Kingdom Hearts. My little brother and I like ran through that game, and then we randomly pulled it out, I think it was like last summer or something, and in a week we had beaten the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. Like, we just randomly were like, let's start over and do it all over again. So, but yeah, I love a good video game. I just don't play them very often.
I know. I played Kingdom Hearts with my brother as well, actually. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I know, me too, because and that's because I have that like half addictive personality where I know I can't stop again. So, you know, if you guys don't hear from me for a while, that's probably what I'll be doing. So yeah. Anyway, it's stop talking about ourselves time to start talking about the news, because we have some very exciting news this week. It's very Disney themed, actually.
There is a lot of Disney, and we will start with something that, while it delights me, it also, you know, made me a little nervous at first. We have our first actress in talks to play Mary Poppins in this new Disney. It's not a sequel. It's a new Disney Mary Poppins adventure, and they are discussing all of this with Emily Blunt. Which I have to say, I'm very, very protective of Mary Poppins. Like, I love that movie so, so much, as I'm sure many, many people do. And, you know, you feel very protective of it. It's like, I don't know if anybody can do that character justice. But then you hear a name like Emily Blunt, who we know can handle comedy. We know she can handle drama. We've seen her sing in Into the Woods. So I feel like she's probably one of the very few actresses who could really handle it.
I share a birthday with Emily Blunt, so I'm very excited. I just found this out the other day. She gets a happy birthday. There you go. You know what? This is because I feel exactly the same way. And I think we discussed, actually, Pam, I don't know if you remember, when the remake was first announced, we discussed it on Hype. And I think we pretty much all said if anyone could do it, it would be Emily Blunt. And I can't believe that this is actually happening.
Yeah, it actually, I remember that because somebody emailed, I believe, up in arms about the fact that Anne Hathaway, I don't even know what accent that was, but Anne Hathaway was perhaps in talks, and I guess people don't like her, which I would have been fine with. But yeah, Emily Blunt was definitely our universal like choice because she's already British and she's kind of got she's already British and she's kind of got that Mary Poppins type look to her.
She does.
I think she could be stern but also fun. So that is, yeah, I think that she'll be great. And we know that she can sing because of Into the Woods. So this is great.
She just has that sort of genuine quality to her. Like, she's a, like, it's kind of like Kate Winslet. She's like a genuine star, you know? Like, she has that sort of settled, confident, nice way about her that is so perfect for a character like Mary Poppins. And which, yeah, and you I know, think- sort of reminds us of, what's her name? Sorry, totally. reminds us of Julie Andrews as well.
Yeah, I feel like she can also pull off that dry humor, which is good because Mary Poppins is very, like, she's funny because she's so stern. And then she's kind of got that, that really fun streak that kind of shows throughout. So I think this is going to be great if they can make it work.
And it won't be that, like, Nancy, what's, like, you know, the one that, God.
Oh, Nanny McPhee.
Nanny McPhee vibe to it, which I'm really afraid of.
That's her love, like, that's her, like, little baby Emma Thompson.
I know.
Yeah, but that's very true. It'll be way different. And I'm sure Kristen is really excited to talk about the next piece of news that's linked to this, because I know I'm excited about that too.
Good news gets better.
I am not as massive a Hamilton fan as many other hypeable people are, especially my roommate who makes me listen to it all the time. But I do absolutely love Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is in talks to play the Bert-esque character named Jack, who would be appearing alongside Emily Blunt in Mary Poppins.
Oh my God.
Honest to God, I cannot think of any other actor who I would want to play that role. He has so much energy and is so enthusiastic about everything, just in normal life, that I can't imagine, like, I can see him as Bert, quote unquote Bert, on stage, like, just dancing away. So it's not a stretch for me at all to see him right alongside Mary Poppins, like, you know, hanging out with the kids and going on adventures. Like, it just seems perfect.
Yeah, it needs to be a stage actor, you know, like, it needs to be someone who has that a slightly over the top vibe without actually being over the top, because he knows how to control himself, you know.
That's very true. And that's exactly what Bert is as a character. Like, he's got the wide eyed wonder of a child, but he's also what grounds the entire story. Mm-hmm. Because he sees what the real world is, but he also understands that there's, like, there can be magic in the mundane. And so I think that this would be perfect. And then, like, isn't there something about him also writing the music for this, perhaps, too?
Yeah, he was going to be helping them write original songs for
this. Is
whatever
just,
they...
This just keeps getting better and better, you guys.
It's, like, too good to be true.
I know, because you just, like Kristen was saying before, this is, like, one of the things that you worry about anytime you hear an angling of, oh, we're gonna do this, we're going to revive this, blah, blah, blah. But this is quite literally the best case scenario. And if they're going to do it, at least, you know, that care is going to be put into it. And that's all you can really hope for when you're so attached to a story. So
And Lin-Manuel doesn't do anything halfway. Like, that man throws himself head first into everything he does. So if he does sign on for this, like, I can almost promise you just on him alone that it's going to be worth the ride. Like, it's going to be totally worth trying, because he just can't hold back. And I love that.
Great. That's really cool. And speaking about news that are relevant to our interests here on Hype, Ready Player One, you guys, our collective favorite book, is of course being turned into a movie. And I'm not sure we actually reported this news. We did on Hypeable, but I'm not sure we talked about it on Hype, that it had been delayed from 2017 to 2018. It's, like, literally fleeing Star Wars. So we have to wait a bit longer for it. But the good news is that we have our Wade Watts / Parsival. I assume we can discuss this, because I'm a little bit unclear about this, but Ty Sheridan, who you will see in the upcoming X-Men Apocalypse as the new Cyclops, has been cast as this main character. And we already have on board Olivia Cook for Artemis or Samantha. And I am a little bit uncertain about how they're going to pull this off. And we already discussed this because I'm not sure if Ty Sheridan will be playing Parsival, which is Ready Player One's virtual avatar, or if he'll be playing Wade, or if he'll do both. I have a feeling he'll do both. What do you guys think? If I don't know if you've read it, Kristen.
I have not. So
oh my God,
just,
Kristen. Oh. That's like the entry test to hype. You have to do that now.
This is your homework. I feel like that's one of the first things we talked about when you relaunched the show.
We did. It's like our benchmark fandom. It's really weird.
It's our first everything, and you never forget your first time.
Yeah.
So, you
know. I will get on that.
I don't know. I'm still so intrigued by how they're going to do this because, like, you know, they could just say, oh, the Oasis is so real that they wouldn't look computer generated. It's not going to look like The Sims, right? Because it's supposed to be so realistic. So it could just be that they do kind of a Wizard of Oz type thing where, like, the real world is in black and white, and then all of a sudden, like, bam, you're in Technicolor when you're in the Oasis. I feel like that would be a really cool way
to do
something
really
like this.
Cool, really retro. I like it.
Yes, exactly. And it would be throwing it back to pop culture. So that would be really nice. But yeah, either way, I mean, I guess he'll probably do both. I can't imagine them not. I'm sure they're gonna do like a Katniss type situation, or like even like a Hermione where they try and like ugly him up.
Yeah,
and they just like polish him off when
they never did that with Hermione. But okay,
yeah, well they tried.
Yeah, frizzy hair. Yeah,
and then she came out. She's like, "Look, guys, I'm beautiful." So maybe
we're like, But yeah, no, I think that's what they'll do. I mean, Kristen and anyone else who hasn't read it yet, like that's kind of his avatar, which he uses in the virtual world, is supposed to be this glamorous version of himself anyway. Like, he sort of made himself look the way he wished that he really looked. And I think he starts off being, like, pasty and overweight and stuff he's described. And then he has this magical fitness routine that I think we all wish we had.
Yeah, he can't sign on.
Yeah, unless he's done the exercise. Yeah.
Could you imagine if that's how, like, hypeable or hype works?
I would be in such good shape, though. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. Like,
I think I'm going to pretend like that's a thing.
you're training for the Oasis, yeah. But so anyway, I mean, it makes sense that they'll go that route for him. And we have to wait and see what they actually do with Samantha. But I assume that it's going to be the same thing, because as you also know if you read the book, she can do both as well pretty easily. So these are good choices, though. I think I think he's fine. I don't really know him from anything, so we're happy with this. Yes, it has our approval.
I think it's hard for it not to for right now, because like you said, we haven't really given him a shot. Yeah. Although when X-Men comes out, he's playing Cyclops in that.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll get a little bit more of a feel for his acting abilities when he takes on a much bigger role. So we shall see.
We shall.
Yes. So we're going to go back to Disney for a little bit, because we also got another really exciting thing, if I guess you're into remakes. Everybody knows that Pete's Dragon is a remake that's coming whether you like it or not. And during Disneyland's 60th anniversary celebration that aired on Sunday, they released the first teaser trailer for this film, which stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Robert Redford, and then introducing Oakes Fegley as a young Pete. And it's a lot eerier and grittier than I think anybody was really expecting it to be. And they're really playing up this haunting type situation where, like, there's this lost boy in the woods who says that he's been raised by a dragon, but no one can see the dragon. So I'm definitely intrigued to see where they take this, but I'm also treading with caution because Pete's Dragon is another one of those films like Mary Poppins that, you know, was a big part of my childhood. So I'm kind of like, oh, I really hope this is good, but also that's all I guess I have to say about that.
I watched that movie so many times as a kid. Oh my gosh. That I'm very, very nervous about this one because it doesn't seem quite like I would imagine it to be. So I'm a little nervous, but I'll probably see it because it's Pete's Dragon and I want to see how they handle it. So.
Right. And I wonder, like, I don't think it's a musical. Do you know if it's a musical or not? This is the only thing that I'm a little confused on.
I don't think so.
I don't
Everything
think it is
I have
either.
Seen in her. Yeah.
which is too bad because it's got one of the most, like, first of all, it's got one of the most adorable Disney songs ever, you guys. And second of all, it's just like they're such a good songs. So
Candle on the Water. I mean, come on.
No, I was going to say I Love You Too. That's like my all-time favorite Disney song. I think it's so cute. Anyway.
Cool. Well, I hope it lives up to your expectations. I hope it's also a good thing. Maybe it's trying to do something very different so that your childhood will remain intact. We shall see.
Sticking on the Disney train, John Williams explained how he went about creating Rey's theme and Kylo Ren's theme in the Star Wars Force Awakens soundtrack. If you check out the... who wrote this? Andrew wrote up a nice little thing about how he discussed it. It's a 3-minute video posted on the Star Wars YouTube channel, and he just kind of goes into what he was thinking when he, you know, wrote these themes for these characters. And like, Rey's theme needed to be a little more adventurous and maybe a little bit unsure of itself, so that, you know, by the time we get to the end of Rey's story, who knows how many movies from now, will, you know, maybe that theme will have progressed somewhere. But for now, you know, we're just getting to know her. And that's all really, really beautiful, actually. And then with Kylo Ren's theme, it's kind of a variation on Darth Vader. I went back and listened to like the sample on iTunes, because I don't own the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. But even in the sample, you could hear like the Darth Vader, you know, death march. Like, you could hear that coming through Kylo Ren's theme. Like, it's not the same. It has a lot of difference to it, but you could still hear it. And it was just really cool to kind of think about just what goes through a composer's head when they're writing a score for a movie. And so if you're at all interested in that, I highly recommend checking this out.
Cool. And yeah, I love the soundtrack for it. So that's really great to hear him talk about it. In slightly sadder news, although not too sad, because, you know, we all have to go sometime, the world lost two of its great authors over the past week. Harper Lee passed away at age 89, which is a very respectable age. So, and we knew she was very, very old. And you know, when To Kill a Watchman came out, there were all these thoughts about whether she wanted it to come out or whether it was her publisher sort of making it happen against her will, because her sister had passed away and she was kind of the one protecting Harper Lee's property. So that's super upsetting, especially because To Kill a Watchman sort of upset a lot of fans. No, To Set a Watchman sort of upset a lot of fans of the original, but I don't think anyone is holding it against her, because everyone knows it was sort of meant like an early draft. I think even written before To Kill a Mockingbird. So, but rest in peace to Harper Lee. And also Umberto Eco passed away. He was an Italian semiotician and novelist who wrote some of my mother's favorite novels, actually. He wrote The Name of the Rose and Foucault's Pendulum and The Island of the Day Before. And I'm actually reading Foucault's Pendulum right now. So kind of strange that he passed away just as I was reading it. I don't know. But he was 89. And no, he was 84. And he also lived a very long life and obviously had a huge impact on the world of academia, I guess. I don't know if you guys are into semiotics, but I am geekily excited about it. So I sort of knew of him. He was also an anthropologist, like my mother. So rest in peace to both of them. This is very sad. But again, they lived long lives, and that's all any of us can hope for, really. That's all I had to say about that. Anything to add?
Oh, no, it's just like you said, it's sad. It's bittersweet, I guess, anytime we lose somebody like this. But, you know, it's nice that they lived so long and, you know, lived to see so many of their great works published. So that's always nice. So moving on to something a little bit more, I guess, a little brighter, if you're a Sherlock fan anyway. You guys know, like, in Titanic, when she's like, it's been 84 years. I feel like This is how all the Sherlock fans feel. But the good news is, you guys, we finally have a confirmation that Series 4 is actually going to start filming, because one of the production designers took a couple of pictures and posted them on Twitter as a bit of a tease for fans to show that they are actually in the process of building the sets for Season 4, which is very, very exciting. So one of the one of my favorite pictures that Arwelwyn Jones, which is the production designer that he took, it looks like it's the wallpaper from 221B Baker Street. So that was really fun to see. And we're not going to get this until about maybe January 2017. But it's still exciting to know that they're going to move forward with this, because for a while it was looking a little bleak. It's been, 3 years. Since
84 years.
Years. Exactly. It's been 84 years. So I think I'm not the only one that's ready for a little more Sherlock in their lives.
Awesome. It is kind of like a movie series, you know, you have to wait so long for it, and then it's only 3 episodes and you have to wait again. Yeah.
But at least they're long 3 episodes. I kind of forgive, but also like, this is too much, you guys.
It's like, gosh, can't they just stop working? Like, if Benedict and Martin were a little less busy, we could probably have more. My gosh.
Also, if they weren't so expensive.
Well, the good thing is the Sherlock is doing very well for itself, so I'm sure they have some money left over to fluff up their payrolls. So. Anyway, moving on, we have another tiny bit of TV news for you guys. If you're a Once Upon a Time fan like I am, this is kind of interesting, because as you may or may not know, if you're caught up, they're actually going to move into the underworld and kind of delve into Hercules and stuff like that when the mid-season premiere airs on March 6th. So that means that there's a lot of opportunities for some people that we thought we would never see again to come back. And one of those people that we're going to see when Emma heads off into the underworld is actually her ex, Neil. So that's going to be kind of exciting, considering she's going down there to save Captain Hook. This sounds like my nightmare.
Oops.
The love of my life and the ex-love of my life. Great. I thought I only had to pick between them once.
Yeah, maybe she has to choose. No. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. No. Mm-hmm. I take it back. So, anyway, that's really exciting if you're a Neil/Bellfire fan, because we'll get to see him again. And we're also going to get to see, you know, like Peter Pan's coming back, and Cruella de Vil is also in some of the teaser trailers. So I don't know if you guys are still watching, but I'm definitely like into where it's going. I feel like I always kind of like drop off at the beginning, like the first half of the season. Mm. And then I end up coming back in the tail end, because they always do such a good job with like the tail end of every season. So I'm into this.
I'm excited, and Karen is very excited, because she's a huge Hercules fan, and the fact that they're going there and not just using like Hades and the underworld, they're actually introducing Meg and Hercules, like you will see them both. She's geeked out about it. We actually recorded an episode of Once Bowl just a couple weeks ago. We watched the Disney movie and kind of talked about where we thought they could use things and what they might use, and kind of just discussed it a little. So if you're interested in more, make sure to check out Once Bowl. And I know we'll be back. I think it's March 6th after the mid-season premiere comes back. So yeah, I'm excited. I really do love Once Upon a Time, so I'm glad they're going this direction. I'm really, really geeked about all the huge world of Greek mythology that will be open to them.
Awesome. How does Karen feel about the Hades? The guy from Ally McBeal.
Well, the one stipulation that she had was that he needs to have blue hair. And according to the still we saw, it wasn't the greatest looking blue hair, but he has blue hair. Yes. So she was very, very excited about that. So once we see him on screen and can see it in all its glory, I'm sure it will be fine.
Awesome. Speaking of Hercules, oh my God, transition of the month. Ding, ding, ding. Let's talk about Xena. So we have some news about the Xena reboot that's going ahead at NBC via a really awesome interview over at IO9 with the new showrunner, Javier Grillo-Maxwatch, and a writer of the Xena graphic novel called Genevieve Valentine, who are sort of, they interview each other, which is a really cool setup, and you should definitely read that if you're interested in this property. So Javier is a really cool guy. He has a podcast, which you should definitely listen to. Children of Tendu, it's called. He does it with Jose Molina, who is also a television writer, and it's a really good podcast. You should definitely check it out. And he also, I mean, Javier has written for Buffy, and he has written for Dollhouse, and he's written for Smallville, Kristen, and he has written for The 100 currently. So it's like all of our favorite things combined. I have, you know, a lot of faith in him for this reason, and I have even more faith in him after this interview. He talks about how he wants to weave the classic story with a new story. He wants to make the new Xena a lot more serialized. And, you know, he wants to make it bingeable and epic. He wants to clothe them more appropriately, which I appreciate. And he also talks about how there are some things about the original series that he doesn't want to mess with, like the chakram that Xena uses and Gabrielle and Xena's soulmate bond, which I think has reassured a lot of people who were worried that, you know, maybe Gabrielle wouldn't even be in the show or that they would do some kind of retconning on that. I think this is all good news. Like, I can't help but think that, because I know a lot of people are very, very protective of the original Xena, but I just think that this character and this type of story, it's almost a shame that it has become so dated. And, like, not to diss the original Xena at all, because I love it, but as Xena told today on television, sort of in the post-Buffy, post-Jessica Jones, post-The 100, post-Game of Thrones TV landscape, I just think that they can do a really good job with it if they do it correctly, you know?
Yeah, when you think fierce female characters, like fierce female warriors, Xena's always the top of your list. Even if you haven't seen the show, you know who Xena is. Like, I haven't seen all of Xena, but I've definitely seen a few episodes here and there. And she's still...
Xena a few episodes? Sorry, carry on.
No, it's fine. But yeah, so I can definitely see it being a thing that could do very well on TV right now. There's enough of an audience for, you know, some really amazing kick-ass female warriors out there that I'm hoping it does well. I would definitely check it out.
Me too. And, like, that's the thing, is that I really think that Xena is recognizable enough that it'll capture people's interests. But the fact that they're going to try to make a new show and not make it so self-referential that only original fans would understand it, because he's going to try to explain everything and put it into a new context and basically do a reboot. He's going to take the story and tell a new one. And I also just think, I mean, coming from The 100, I think he knows what he's doing. Like, I really think so. I really, you know, I know it's an NBC and I know there's a lot of ways it could go wrong, but for right now, I'm so excited. And I'm sorry, I'm getting, like, progressively more, like, clogged up in my nose as this podcast goes on. I'm really sorry, guys. Anything else to add on this? Are we just super excited? I'm super excited. I can't wait for to find out who's going to get cast and stuff like that. It's a shame that Eliza Taylor and Alicia Devlin Carey already have jobs, because they would be perfect, just saying.
Hey, both of them came out of near obscurity to play Clark and Lexa, who we love. So exactly. They could find some really amazing, you know, unknowns and just knock it out of the park, which would be amazing.
Exactly. And Australia is full of actors, so they can just go get some more from there, because they apparently have all the good ones. So
true story.
And Merrima doesn't have a job right now, right? So she can do it.
Aw, Merrima could be Xena.
Yes, that would be good.
She could totally hold that down. Yeah.
She could. So, yeah, and but yeah, no, I'm just really excited, and yes. That was a lame ending. I don't know how to transition. There's no transition to this next one. This is a sad story.
I know. We're going to end on a sobering note. We've got a little bit of music news for you guys. If you haven't been following music or just in general, like, pop culture news for the past week, then you won't know this, but we'll just catch you up a little bit. Kesha's actually been in trial for a while, and last week, the New York Supreme Court Justice actually ruled against her breaking away from Sony following an injunction that she was trying to file in order to break free from her producer, Dr. Luke. And she is just claiming, well, I guess now, right now you have to say claiming, but it's not like nobody believes her, that he verbally and sexually abused her, and he was just manipulative and controlling, and played a big part in the fact that she had to go to rehab and stuff. So it's just a really awful place for her to be, because she's just trapped in this terrible situation and essentially being forced to work with somebody that she's not comfortable with, which is just terrible on all accounts. And you know, after the trial went down, just the outpouring of support from not only fans and just general people, but from the music community was so, it was so heartfelt. And, you know, people like Lorde and Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift and even Adele at earlier this today, actually, the Brits happened out in England, and she used a moment in her acceptance speech to tell everybody that she fully stands with Kesha. And so everybody's just kind of been really banding behind her, which is hopefully a sign that maybe if she takes this back to court, the judge will rule in her favor and let her break free from Sony. But for now, it sounds like she's keeping her head held high. And she finally released her first statement on Facebook regarding everything that's been going on, where she kind of just said that she's so humbled and grateful for the outpouring of support from fans and also from her peers. And it's really, really heartfelt. It's also very long, so we're not going to read it all here. But if you want to read more about this, you can head over to HiBubble.com and read Kesha's full statement, and then also read Dr. Luke's statements via Twitter, because we have those as well. And yeah, we just wish Kesha all the best, and hopefully she gets back to making music soon, because it's really, really sad when an artist is stifled like this. And yeah, that's all kind of we have to say about that. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts, but
what is very encouraging is that so many people are very publicly taking a stand, you know, and very publicly speaking out against this. I think it says a lot about the world we live in now, where something like this happens and people are in an uproar. You know, I don't know if it's going to help Kesha. I hope it does. But I really think that the response has been very heartening, you know?
I think so, too. Yeah. I don't know. What were you going to say, Kristen?
I say that's the only good thing that's come out of this is, you know, you can't help but feel badly for her, because all she wants is to be released from her contract. Like, she's not trying to file any injunction against him. She's not trying to bring him to court. She just wants out, and they won't let her out. Like, that seems like it's ludicrous that they won't release her from contract after everything. But, you know, it is lovely to see that everyone is supporting her. And, you know, I have seen very, very, very little about, you know, the other side of the story, because it doesn't really matter. And that's, I'm loving, the support that she's gotten from everyone, and seeing all of the different female artists come out and just throw their support behind her has been really nice.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just want to point out, too, that the reason that we make an effort on Hypeable specifically to kind of showcase what both sides are saying is because it's really going to help you guys understand, if you're following this court case, why the court may have ruled for or against, you know, what Kesha wants and stuff like that. So if you're trying to stay up to date with this, no matter how much you don't stand with Dr. Luke, it's really important that you guys educate yourselves on like what he's saying and what his his lawyers are saying and stuff like that, because that's really the only way that you'll be able to follow along and kind of get a good grip as to, you know, what's going on with all of this. So I highly recommend that you guys just go out and read all of this if you're interested, because it really brings even more so to light what's going on. And hopefully this is something that she'll be able to overcome, because she makes some really, really fun music, and I would love to have more Kesha stuff back.
Yeah, I remember when she was first came out and she did all those like really, really like dance, really insane, like hardcore dance tracks. And someone said to me, you know, that she's actually like a really fantastic singer. And I was like, yeah, right. And then I actually went and listened to some of her acoustic stuff and her live covers. And she's really good. Like, she's very, very good. She's kind of like someone like Ellie Goulding as well, who is sort of has come into this techno, or even Lady Gaga, you know, who has come into this techno world, and then they sing live and you're like, holy crap, like, it's the opposite of what you usually hear.
And it's actually really funny that you mention Ellie Goulding, because that is a great person to compare her to. Specifically because Dr. Luke is actually a protege of Max Martin, who's a big time producer that did Ellie Goulding's latest album, also wrote Blank Space with Taylor Swift and produced a bunch of the tracks off of 1989. And then also produced Send My Love to Your Ex-Lover off of Adele's latest album. So it's a very, very astute. That's a fun little trivia fact for you
that
guys.
That is if you're awesome.
The men behind music.
A lot of, yes.
Yes. There's a lot of women behind music too, but Max Martin is definitely, he's the big one. So.
Okay. Well, that wraps up our news. Thank you for sharing that, Pam. I really enjoy when we get to sort of talk about a bit more serious stuff too. So we didn't talk about these, but they are also big news stories. Ava DuVernay has been selected by Disney to direct A Wrinkle in Time, which should be very exciting. Pacific Rim 2 is going ahead, but it will be directed by Stephen S. DeKnight, who worked on Buffy. It's all the old Buffy writers, guys, and has also written Daredevil, the Netflix series. And there's an R-rated version of Batman vs. Superman coming on Blu-ray, and Facebook has launched Reaction Faces. The biggest news story of all time. Very exciting. We cannot wait to be surprised and confused on Facebook. That is the end of our news, and we're gonna head into TV show of the week, and I can see we all have a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to start us off to get the ball rolling by talking, because we have Kristen on, and another great reason why it's great that Kristen has joined our podcast is because we get to geek out about the 100. Yay!
All the geeking out.
Yes. And we actually had a tweet from Abby Lee, who said she finally watched last week's The 100 and was sad to realize there probably won't be a hype special because we need to talk about all the things. And yeah, there won't be a hype special, but we can have a mini special right now. Kristen, talk about all the things.
I mean, let's face it, the highlight of the episode for me and for a lot of people was that Bellamy Clark scene.
Oh,
it just tore me apart, man. Like, it was so good, and I was totally drawn in. Jason totally got me. Like, I was there. I thought everything was gonna be okay, and then he slaps the stupid handcuffs on her, and I was so mad at him. Yeah, no, it's gonna be a long road for Bellamy, but I think in the end, this episode went a long way to kind of explaining where his character's at and where what was going through his head, because people have had a lot of trouble figuring out how this is, you know, in character for him and what is going on. And after this episode, I really understood how they got Bellamy here and exactly what his motivation was. You know, when he was listing all of Clark's sins toward him, like when he's kind of telling her, like, you know, you almost let my sister get blown up and, you know, all of these things, like, I was just taking them off my brain. And I'm like, yeah, he's totally right. Like, I see it. So, yeah, it's the 100 just slays me.
It's so frustrating right now, but in like the best way, because it can't, that's the thing about the 100, it can be really epic and amazing, and it can be really sad, and it can be really good, and it can be just really, it just tugs at your heart, and you're like, I don't know how to feel, and I'm so angry at everyone, but like, I understand them. And I think actually you're right, like last week people, because the fandom is angry, like, whoa. But last week the fandom was angry because they didn't really think it made sense for Bellamy. I think this week most of the anger is because they don't like the direction the story's going, you know, because they had imagined something else, or they, like, obviously we like it when our characters all get along and when Pike doesn't come in and like ruin everything. But I do agree, I think we were talking on our last 100 special about how you needed to work out Bellamy's motivation for yourself. And this episode, they really spelled it out. And not just in a, let me like try to justify him, but in a, this is actually the way he's been feeling all along. Like what he's doing, it makes sense. It's not, it doesn't come out of nowhere at all. And I think, that scene with Bellamy and Clark as well, I think I took some flack for my review because I really praised it, and people were very quick to say, oh, you know, you just have shipper bias. And I sort of, I didn't say anything, but I was like, do you guys know that, like, I'm Team Klexa? Like,
is this, I ship everyone. I'm ship not gonna everyone. Lie.
Yeah,
show,
me too.
Like, I love everyone.
Me too. And I think that's the thing, is that you, I think the 100 works in, like, it doesn't work as a, for ship wars, you know, it's really not about who Clark is going to choose. Like, this is not the point of this. And I really enjoy Bellamy and Clark's dynamic. And I thought that scene was just so beautiful. And I didn't say this in my review, I just thought of it the other day. If you've seen Lost, there's a scene in season 3 with Jack and Kate where, like, let me try to think. I think he is, oh yeah, he is handcuffed. In, like, he's been captured, and she comes in because the others have captured her, and she comes in and, like, she sort of kneels down before his chair and grabs his hands, and it's like exactly the same thing. And you're old, she's like, oh my god, it's so cute. And then she drops this bombshell on him, she's like, I'm actually doing this for Sawyer. And he's like, oh no. And I just, the dynamic of those scenes were so similar and had that sort of, oh, it just, it hurts because it's not what you want, but it's so good.
Yeah, like, I love this show, and I'm so mad at it right now, but it's because I'm mad at Bellamy. Like, I'm not happy. Like, it's like, it's not that I'm mad about the character or anything. It's just, I'm so frustrated because I want him to see the light and he can't. So it's like, it's okay to be upset at Bellamy. Like, it's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, it's how good TV is. You should have some sort of emotional response to it. And exactly. More than any show on TV right now, the 100 is definitely pulling that out of me.
Yeah, and Pike is just the worst, and they were so close to peace, and now Jaha is back, and he's gonna, like,
and Raven's getting sucked to the crazy.
I know.
No, not Raven.
I know. Raven and Jasper, it's all as I predicted, but I don't like it. I think it's very annoying. But yeah, so anything else that you really liked or were frustrated with?
The Lexa line.
Which
blood
one?
Must not have
blood. Oh yeah, of course. Lexa's the best. Like, she's so going to die because she's too good. She's too pure. Like, it just, that's how it has to work. That's what I said last season as well. And then she did that betrayal thing and I was like, okay, well, that justifies them keeping her around. But
yeah,
this season, like, she's just too good and she helps Clark too much. I really don't think they can sustain that for too long, but I love her so much. She's so perfect.
Right now, like, she's been the voice of reason, and right now she is Clark's, like, guiding light. She's Clark's mentor. Mm. And if you look at the history of popular culture, the mentor dies.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing. You know, Dumbledore was Harry's mentor, Dumbledore died. Like, that sort of thing. So I am worried for her because I don't want Lexa going anywhere because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, in order for Clark to really move into the leadership role that she should have, Lexa will probably have to die at some point. I'm not happy about it, but it's, you know, the eventuality that I'm preparing myself for every week.
So sad. Anyway, ding, 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 Pam, you can wake up. We're done.
We're done.
You have to watch this show.
soon, after I get through the millions of other things that I'm half watching.
Yeah.
Do I get to talk about
the things you're watching?
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay! Well, first of all, very, very quickly, I want to say that I did check out ABC. HBO's brand new music drama Vinyl, which is being directed by Martin Scorsese, and it's got you know, a lot of, like, really big actors in it too, like Ray Romano's in it, Juno Temple's in it, Olivia Wilde's in it. If you're into kind of, like, the music scene and you're interested in the 70s and stuff like that, it's very sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I'm really enjoying it so far. It's a little bit slower than I was kind of hoping it would be. But, like, every time I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to watch this later, like, something happens, you have to keep watching. So in that sense, it's definitely keeping my interest. And if you're looking for something new to watch, the first two episodes are actually up on HBO Go right now. So if you have access to that, you might want to check it out if you're interested. But more importantly, you guys, The Walking Dead is back, and this latest episode was also really, really good, because it's just so satisfying when one of your like ships, even if you didn't even know you wanted it, like happens to set sail. And that's like literally what happened, you guys, this week with Rick and Michonne.
Yeah.
It was beautiful because they're already pretty much a family. Like, oh my gosh. You know what gives me the most feels in the entire Walking Dead like universe is Carl and Michonne.
Aww. Because
I know, so sweet. I love
it's so Chris satisfying.
I know. See, you're happy that Kristen's here for the 100. I'm happy that Kristen's here for The Walking Dead, because nobody ever cares. But yeah, what did you think of this episode? Because I feel like we got a little bit of everything. Like Rick and Daryl reunited, and they had like the little buddy moment, and we had some good Carl and Michonne moments, and then Rick and Michonne, and it was just great.
Yeah, it was the most upbeat episode of The Walking Dead I think we've ever had. Like, there were some downer moments, but for the most part, things went well and things went right, which never happens. So I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic, because that can't last for too long. But this episode was so good, and it was so much fun. And watching Daryl and Rick, like, just be bros and like head out, oh god, it was so great. And the Michonne stuff, I've always loved Michonne and Carl together. They have been the highlight of the show for me. Anytime they're on screen, I get so excited. So having, you know, some more of that, especially after Carl's injury and all of that, it was really, really beautiful. It may have been a Glenn Light episode. I love Glenn, in case anybody needs to know. It may have been Glenn Light, but I really, really, really loved it. So,
yeah, totally. And we also got introduced to Jesus, who is like a huge character that people have been really excited about. So, yeah, I'm just so
many puns.
Yeah,
I know, so many. It was just such it's such a good season so far. And you know, they kind of like Once Upon a Time, they always bring it in the second half of the season. So I have a feeling that it's just going to be nonstop craziness from here on out. Now that we've gotten the nice, fun, cute episode out of the way, I feel like there's going to be a lot of death and destruction, which is really nerve-wracking.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, well, I'm so glad for you. I'm so happy for you guys, because I don't watch it anymore. But just seeing how happy everyone were, like, that's the thing. This is why we're into shipping. It's because when something like this happens, you're like, oh, it's so good. You feel so vindicated, you know? You saw where the story was going. I like it.
I guess, but the funny thing is like, I was just, you know, it wasn't even, like, romantic. It was just more like they're already, like, caring for each other. The Walking Dead is so interesting in the sense that, you know, there's not a lot of, like, romance, but these people all, like, genuinely care for each other, and they love each other, and they've made this, like, higgledy-piggledy little family together. And I think that that's, like, the most heartwarming situation in the whole show, is that, like, that they could so easily just, like, kill each other, but they really have each other's backs, and it's just, it's really nice.
Cool.
So it always sucks when somebody dies. Ugh.
Yeah. So, what have you been watching, Kirsten?
Well, Survivor's back, and I love the show. There's nothing else to really say. I look forward to Survivor's return every season, and there are two seasons a year, thank God, and I'm so glad it's back. I don't even know why I love it as much as I do. When people have asked me before, I really can't tell you. Like, it's just real human drama on a beach somewhere, and they're stuck with nothing, and it's all just, you know, things that develop on camera, and it's craziness. But yeah, so I'm really, really excited that Survivor's back. I'm a Big Brother fan, so seeing Caleb, aka Beast Mode Cowboy, on Survivor, anybody who watches Big Brother knows who I'm talking about. I'm interested to see how he does this season, because Big Brother and Survivor are two very different games, and so it should be. It's always interesting to see someone come from an Amazing Race or Big Brother and try and play this game too. So there actually was a new episode tonight, but it got pushed in North Carolina for basketball. So I was really, really disappointed that it wasn't on. So as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go watch Survivor.
Cool. And what about the originals, Vampire Diaries, the crossover that's been like 5 years in the making?
Yes. It's this week, it's Friday, and I'm just so excited to get like Salvatore's and the Michelsons in the same room again. It's been three seasons of TVD without them being in this, you know, on screen together, and I'm sure it's going to be epic and really witty and fun, and I'm really, really excited about it. So here's cool. Crossing our fingers that everything goes how we want.
Exciting. So yeah. That's all the TV we've been watching. There's a lot, and we've watched a lot more, but we can't talk about them all, so we'll save some of them for next week. And we're going to finish the show with some listener feedback. We have some comments from Hypeable.com. If, Pam, you want to take the first one?
Sure. Allison says, I loved Hamilton's Grammy performance. It let my parents actually gain a slight understanding of my obsession with it. But it was like a teaser trailer and desperately left me wanting the whole thing. I was actually kind of surprised how excited the new Fuller House made me. I, too, am feeling that kind of cheesy over-the-topness, but I think that a lot of that is that right now I think they're really trying to use the nostalgia factor to sell it. I hope that it ends up really focusing on DJ Stephanie and Kimmy with the occasional cameo from past cast members, kind of similar to how Girl Meets World has done it, which I personally really enjoy. I have hopeful expectations for it. And this is actually a really good time to let you guys know that if you're listening to this when it comes out, we actually have a Fuller House review up on Hypeable right now. So if you want to kind of get a little bit of insight as to what to expect, you can check that out over on the site. And yeah.
Cool. And the next comment from Laura Jorgensmeyer. Kristen?
Sure. Yeah. Laura says, my roommate and I started watching Gilmore Girls for the first time last week, and we're loving it. Can't wait for the specials. Also, after seeing the Grammys performance, I had to listen to the whole Hamilton soundtrack, and it's amazing. I'd love to see it one day. That's pretty much what most of the country is thinking.
Yes.
On any given moment of any given day.
I know.
They wish they could see Hamilton. But yeah, also a Gilmore Girls fan here, so love it, love it. Woo-hoo. So glad when new people discover that show. It's so
yay! I love it too. Yay! We actually had a tweet from Anonymous going along this asking, hi, I was just wondering when your first Gilmore Girls special is coming. And the answer to that question is...
soon. I'm actually on editing duty, which well, we don't talk about this enough on Hype, but we really should give a major, major everything to Selena, who edits the show every week and make sure it's out the day after we record. She is amazing. Unfortunately, I am not amazing, and it's going to take me a while to do this, but I'm hoping that you guys will have it within the next couple weeks. But the good news is that we don't really have a premiere date for the Netflix revival yet, so, you know, it's kind of, you're anticipating both things. You're anticipating our special, you're anticipating the revival, and eventually everything will be out and we'll be happy. And yeah, but it's a really fun episode, so hopefully we'll get that out for you guys soon.
Yeah, and I'm making my way through season two of Gilmore Girls right now, so that's exciting.
How are you liking it? Like, very initial thoughts, little teaser to our season two special.
Ooh, well, I'm only like eight episodes in or so, or nine episodes in. I like it a lot. I think it's really great. I'm still waiting like for stuff to happen, because now Jess is here, and like I did not expect how he was going to come into the show, like his connection to a certain character, no spoilers, so that was very cool. And I'm still kind of sick of Dean, and because now it's like you're just waiting for the Jess thing. It's like, okay, but when is Dean? Because you know that the Jess thing's going to happen. I've just seen the episode with the snow, with the carriages and the party.
Oh, isn't that the cutest?
It's so cute. I love it so
dinner?
Much. Yes.
Yes.
So cute. And it's just so good. I just have it on like while I sort of walk around and do stuff, and it's really, really nice. But more on that on the Gilmore Girls specials. So Paley Lewis asks or says, I need the Hype and the 100 theme mashup as a ringtone stat. I suppose I can upload that as an MP3 if you want it. I'll do that right now. Actually, Paley Lewis, check the Hypeable post. I'll put it on there today, and then I'll also put it on Twitter if anyone else happens to want it. It's my art, you guys.
I love that you just are readily available with that. Look at that.
Yeah, there you go. What else do you guys want? Keep it coming. Maybe I can fulfill your wishes.
But keep your requests reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know.
We also have a Hype and Buffy theme mashup lying around. You know, that's that level of stuff I can help you with.
So pretty much anything that involves a special, we can help you out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There you go, Paley. So going on to Twitter, we have a tweet from the Lady Ash, Kristen.
Sure. She says, I'm with Selena on Deadpool. It was an okay movie with funny moments, but nothing I'll remember a year from now. And sadly, I can believe a movie in 2016 can go a full 90 minutes without two women having a combo. No pass on the Bechdel test.
I'm so glad that I'm not alone because, like, literally everyone in the world loves this movie. And, like, I said this last episode. It's not that I don't think it's good. I just had some things. I was like, really, guys? But it's fine. You guys loved it, right?
I was just on the Hero Hype episode discussing this with Caitlin and Karen and Danya. And while we all enjoyed it, we all kind of agreed that it doesn't really have rewatch value. Like, none of us were running out to the theater to see it again.
Mm.
It's good fun. Like, it's a really fun movie. But again, I'm kind of with you. I don't think it's something that I'm going to want to go back and see a dozen times. Like, it's more an event, a pop culture event that I'm glad I went and saw it. I'm glad I was a part of it. But I don't know if it'll be one that I have to own or anything like that.
Mm. Okay, well, there you go. You can, if you guys, if the lady asks if you want more people agreeing with you, you can go and listen to the Hero Hype special on that. You can find that on hypeable.com. And Stephanie Merrill says, Pam?
Stephanie says, what if publishers are using the new Pottermore sorting quiz to estimate house population? Hashtag half joking, hashtag half serious, spelled like black. I think this was in reference to the Hogwarts Houses book collections mm-hmm. that are going to be coming out. And I think that this would be really clever, but also they would be banking on the fact that nobody's having a house crisis.
Yeah.
Being like, but I thought I was a Gryffindor and now I'm a Ravenclaw. So.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this. I just saw in the store the other day that there's these, like, Hogwarts-themed letter-writing sets, and they had one Gryffindor one on display, and then they just had a stack of Slytherin ones. So, like, I don't know if that means that they only had Slytherin and Gryffindor and the Gryffindor ones were taken, or if just nobody wants to be a Slytherin. I have no idea. It was just weird to me.
You know what? This is how they get me with stationery. Like, oh, you're going to sell new book editions? No, I'm good with my, like,
But you have stationery? The books.
Give him to me.
Yeah, I really, like, I'm considering buying it and then sending everyone, like, Hogwarts letters. That would be amazing.
Oh my god, that would be so cute!
I'm so on board for that.
So you know, you see there, theme tunes, Hogwarts letters, I do it all, guys. So, the next one from Andrew Goodman, still catching up on hype, and I am so glad, this is to Kyle, I'm so glad I'm not alone in my love for Gallivant. It's amazing. Great. Yeah, people are loving it. That's great. I think Danya loves that too, actually. And a final comment or tweet, Pam?
Sure. Olivia Cantrell says, finished at Felicia Day's book today in audiobook and loved it. Cried a lot. Way too relatable. I think this must have been to you, right?
Yeah.
Because you had read it and reviewed it on here.
Yes.
So
it is. And it's such a good book. It's so good. Like, you guys, if you are into online culture and stuff, you definitely want to check this book out. And Felicia Day liked it on Twitter. So she has seen your endorsement, Olivia. So that's nice. That's the end of the show. We appreciate you tuning in to catch up with the latest news with us. And we will be back next week for episode 89. It's also getting to be time for another The 100 special next week or the week after, depending on what happens in this week's episode of The 100. It's very exciting. It's actually tonight now for me, so very, very cool. If you want to comment on anything we talked about today, or if you want to suggest anything you would like us to talk about, or if you want to send in your feedback on Gilmore Girls Season 2, you can do that either on Twitter at HypableHype. You can find us on Hypable.com, which is HYPABLE.com. You can go to the little left-hand menu and find the podcasts through there. And you can email us, hype@hypable.com. So thank you for joining us. Kristen, thank you for joining us permanently. Dun, dun, dun. Yes. You're in
Thanks
the house
for
of hype.
Me.
Yes. We're very excited. Yes. Sounds very ominous, but you know. And that's everything. See you next week. Have a great week, everyone. My name is Selena.
My name is Kristen. Pamela.
Oh, no. home.
And you're Kristen.
I try.
I tried too.
It's okay. It's the first one. You're good. Try again. My name is Selena.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Pamela.
Yay! We did it! It's already working. The three of us just gelled so well right there.
Perfect. On the first try.
Absolutely. On the first try.